The proper name for a Sikh house of worship is Gurdwara, or Gateway to the Guru. The first thing I do as I enter a one-story brick building not far from the Valley Junction shopping area of West Des Moines is remove my shoes and cover my head with a bright orange scarf. Chanting and music fill a room where people sit cross-legged in quiet meditation. I'm escorted by Gurwinder Singh Kapoor.
One of the ways that you'll see them meditating, you'll close your eyes as the minstrels are singing the Shabads. They will meditate on the mantra Waheguru, 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 which means God is one, God is one, God is one, Waheguru, God is great.
Singh Kapoor is an IT trainer at Principal Financial Group in Des Moines. He's one of the estimated 300 Sikhs living in Iowa. He wears his unshorn hair under a turban, and his chest-length beard is tied up with string. Sikhs say hair is a gift from God, and they are submitting to God's will by not cutting it. Singh Kapoor says it also serves as a reminder of the vicious treatment suffered by the early practitioners of his faith.
We tell ourselves that they have given everything to religion, hence, you know, following simple rules like keeping our hair, keeping our beards, you know, practicing the code of the Khalsa is so critical in the religion.
Khalsa for the Sikhs is an ideal, pure state. Those seeking it follow the five articles of faith of Sikhism, known as the five Ks. Kesh, the long hair. Kanga, a comb worn in the hair as a sign of cleanliness. Kachera, cotton undergarments that signify chastity. The Kura, a steel bracelet worn as a reminder they are connected to God. And the Kirpan, a small sword to indicate justice and honor. Then there is the turban, which sets Sikhs apart as much as anything else. Des Moines businessman Harbhajan Singh says they have worn the distinctive headwear as an act of defiance since the beginnings of the religion.
That time the Muslims used to wear turbans, you know, and the rulers told that no other person can wear a turban except the Muslims.
Yes. The mullahs.
But the Sikhs said, why not? Who's telling us this? We should not wear turbans. So they started wearing turbans.
Setting themselves apart through their appearance is risky business in America and can turn deadly, as it did earlier this year when a gunman entered a Sikh temple outside Milwaukee and killed six worshippers. After the murders, 13-year-old J.J. Singh Kapoor, Gurvinder's son, did not remove the small turban he wears to classes at Stillwell Middle School in West Des Moines. He used it as a conversation starter.
I feel that the motive of the man who went to kill all of those people in Oak Creek, all of those innocent people, I feel that the motive wasn't prejudice, but I feel it was ignorance.
Beneath JJ's turban is 4 feet of hair.
Occasionally, I will do a crazy hair day where I'll put my hair down and show them how long my hair actually is.
In this way, JJ engages his fellow students in a short course on Sikhism, the fifth largest organized religion in the world, followed by 500,000 people in the U.S. It's a faith based on the writings and teachings of 10 gurus, who were God's messengers on earth over a 230-year period. Gurwinder Singh Kapoor says they were teachers, not prophets.
Guru is from the Sanskrit word gu, means darkness. Well, ru is light. So if someone takes you from darkness and to enlightenment or light, that's guru.
The founding guru of Sikhism was Guru Nanak, born in 1469 in what is now Pakistan. He believed personal meditation on God was the only way to receive God's grace. So he set out to remove all rituals from religion. This guiding principle was passed down to chosen followers over the next 2.5 centuries until it reached Guru Gobind Singh, who died in 1708. He was the last flesh-and-bone Sikh guru.
Our 10th guru said that after my presence in this world, there would not be any living guru. Your guru is the holy book called the Guru Granth Sahib. It's revered like the Bible, like the Quran, like, the Torah.
On special occasions, volunteers read the nearly 1,500-page Guru Granth Sahib from start to finish. It takes at least 48 consecutive hours. This holy book is treated with the care one might give a baby. It's even put to bed each night in a cradle. During daytime worship, Gurwinder Singh Kapoor says the scriptures are kept immaculate.
We have what they call a fly flicker.
The fly flickers to keep the dust away. And at any time of the day when the prayers are being recited, the priest would use that to keep the place dust-free and clean.
Services end in Sikh temples with the passing around of a sweet, doughy mix of flour, sugar, and butter.
It's called prasad. Prasad is a holy pudding. It's a bit heavy on the calories, but it's supposed to cleanse the mind.
A more substantial meal is blessed and served following prayers. It's called langur and is vegetarian. On this day, it consists of the lentil soup known as dal, curried cauliflower and potatoes, cucumbers in yogurt, and kheer, a sweet rice pudding. This feast is not just spooned up for the practicing Sikhs. It's served to anyone who stops by.
The temple is meant for tired travelers, for sick people, for people who need help. And that was the main reason to have langur in temple.
Gurwinder Singh Kapoor says this free meal illustrates the tenets of Sikhism in their purest form. A belief in the goodness of mankind as demonstrated by sharing, charity, sacrifice, and hard work. In West Des Moines, I'm Rob Dillard, Iowa Public Radio News.